Hey, satanic worship! That's what we're doing. We got a pentagram going. We got some... No.
We're going to have a blood orgy in this episode.
Welcome to Late Late Horror Show. I'm Dino. That's...
Ted.
Yeah,
whatever I am.
Yeah, you're Ted. And, so we got another Hammer Horror. Next week, we got Vampire Lovers. This week, we got The Devil Rides Out.
No, next week's Christmas. We forgot.
Oh, no, yeah, we're going to
skip. Taking a little break.
We're going to skip and do Silent Night, Deadly Night.
For you
week.
For Christmas. It'll be day after Christmas, but... You know, you can curl up by the
it's
tree.
Right around, and it's one I want to do anyways.
Yeah, we talked about it last year and we didn't do it. So yeah, we saved it for this year.
Yeah, we'll rip the hell out of it and have some fun.
Oh, yeah.
But this one is 1968, The Devil Rides Out.
Yes.
Or The Devil's Bride.
Right, if it's ever on Turner Classic Movies, it's always The Devil's Bride, which they do show like around Halloween every
Why?
Year. Because The Devil Rides Out sounded too much like a Western. So they changed the name. Oh, yeah.
The Devil Rides Out sounds like a Western. I guess, I don't know.
Rides Out, I guess.
The Devil Rides Out. Because technically, I don't think anywhere in this movie the devil actually rode out on anything.
No, not really.
So, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes no sense. The Devil's Bride does make more sense.
But there's no Devil's Bride in that movie.
Well, Tan. Ted might be, coughing a bit.
Yeah, I'm spreading germs.
Getting
now,
over
really.
A cold.
So what's cool but, about this movie? This movie,
but Christopher Lee, of course. And, oh, Christopher Lee's role. This is where he plays a good guy.
Right, one of the few.
You know, and this is actually
got a lot of dialogue in this one compared to the last one we did, where he had no dialogue.
And this is his his favorite
Hammer
film,
movie.
Hammer movie that he
did. I think he has said that The Wicker Man is his favorite role.
Right, right.
But that Devil Rides Out is his favorite Hammer film, yeah. Which he did so many for.
Yeah.
1968, like you said, this is based on a novel. If you're a horror novel reader, you know, you got to check out Dennis Wheatley. All right, because he wrote all these black magic, dark devil worshipping novels back in the 30s. All right, this is the stuff that Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath was reading when he came up with the idea, you know, watching these horror movies and for some of the material from their songs.
Yeah, and it was clips of this movie was in Iron Maiden.
That's right. You knew that.
Which video was it again?
Number of the Beast.
Number of the Beast, that's right.
Number
so,
of the Beast.
There you go.
Metalheads know that.
Yeah.
And, Dennis Wheatley, you could kind of compare him to the Christopher Lee character in this
film. Not Wheatley from Star Trek The Next Generation.
No, not Will Wheatley. Dennis
Wheatley.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah,
the cooler Wheatley. So this guy wrote lots of novels like this. Actually, the character that Christopher Lee plays in this movie, there's a series of books with like all four of those guys from this movie in that book.
And you know what's funny is a lot of people back then wrote a lot of books.
Yeah, they wrote a lot of books. Absolutely. A lot of books. People read books. They didn't have movies back in the 20s and 30s.
Not as much nowadays. It's either e-books that they go, bloop, you know, and flip out. You don't get, you know.
Right.
The year of the book is gone.
But
the decade, the era.
Yeah, but there's still books.
No, there are.
Some people read them.
Yeah. Okay.
Some hot chicks read books.
Some hot chicks read books.
Some hot chicks read books. But Dennis Wheatley wrote these books. And he was also not a dabbler in the occult, but certainly like... Christopher Lee's character, Duke Richie Lou,
investigative,
a student of.
Right.
Matter of fact, he even belonged to an organization called the Ghost Club in London, which was an early paranormal investigators club back in the 30s.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you he has something to do with the paranormal and likes, you know, has an interest in it because, he loves the book so much and he actually... pushed to make it a movie, a Hammer movie.
He was certainly pleased with the results. The movie actually sticks, I've got the book, it actually sticks pretty close to the book.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Gray, if you remember the narrator from Rocky Horror Picture Show, he plays Makata, who is
Markata.
the leader of this satanic cult.
Yeah.
And he eats up every scene he's in. He's fantastic in the movie.
And he was he played in some Bond films.
Right, he's been in some things if you look for him.
So he's very notable.
You'll know his chin.
Yeah. But in this movie, man, he is just out there. His eyes.
I got hypnotized watching the movie.
Did you really?
Yeah, I started standing up and doing weird shit.
Really?
But he is based off of Aleister Crowley.
Right.
Who... Dennis Wheatley did know. Matter of fact, he invited Aleister Crowley to his house for dinner just to pick his brain, talk to him a little bit, and kind of got his mannerisms and his speech down, and that's how he's played out in the book. So this is actually based on some real stuff. When you read a Dennis Wheatley book, the rituals,
yeah,
the spells, anything that's in it.
Is, I know is, all this stuff.
So. Is the real? It's the real stuff. Ooh. All right, he puts it in there.
Yeah.
But there's always his books always have like at the beginning, you know, I don't advise
a caveat.
I don't advise you to partake, you know, to do any of these
to things. Partake in
or
these
if you come across anyone
sinister
who can do
deeds.
It. And you know, I certainly feel that way. You know, I feel like you know you go and dabble with that stuff. He you know, a lot of these guys didn't actually believe like you know in Satan or the devil, but there are. You know, evil intelligences, evil forces that are part of the earth.
Yeah.
And then if you, you know, start dabbling in things and invoking names, mm-hmm. you're going to invite them to take over you. Mm-hmm. And I don't, even though I've never experienced or seen anything like that, I, you know, there's plenty of good in the world, there's plenty of bad in the world, and it's got to come from somewhere. So I think this movie's a good little lesson on that.
There's our take with the paranormal a little bit with little Ted there.
See?
You know, I mean...
You know, hook it up with your other show.
Do I think, you know, I mean, people say don't dabble with the Ouija board and all this other... I mean, that's totally separate than performing the black arts and stuff
right,
like
you're
that.
Not,
so
you're
that's
not
a
purposely
bit,
invoking
right.
evil.
So yeah. I do believe you can pull evil
well,
and...
Well, you know, just being naive sometimes and you know, you don't know what you're going to pull out, I guess.
And the spirits that, like you said, black magic can pull those evil spirits... And you can invoke them to be part of whatever
you're I feel like, why not?
You, doing, you know,
there's plenty of people out there that do it, so...
I mean, I run my cult very, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much like the movie, like Mercado.
Oh,
I
yeah?
mean, these
no
people...
horseplay.
They don't show up. I mean, it, you know... I mean, I won't say, but, you know, I mean, it's just... You better be there.
That's right. On
so,
time.
Yeah, so...
be there for the Sabbath, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So this
and
is actually...
Some...
A...
Okay.
I was just going to say, it's a... For most Hammer fans, this is considered one of the best. It's rated very highly on most of the rating sites.
Can't wait to see Vampire Lovers.
So, you know, here's what I think.
But...
As we talked during the opening credits here, which are kind of cool because it's got, you know, Baphomet, the,
oh, yeah.
the Goat of Mendez.
It is pretty awesome.
The pentagrams, but, you know, you got these hallowed yeah. halls of monster movie, horror movies, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
You know, and all of us wander around in there from time to time, the fans.
Yeah.
You got, you know, the overwhelming majority are probably, you know, like the Great Unwashed. They're in the middle, you know, and they're talking about Jason and Michael Myers and Freddy and Chucky and Pinhead and who could win, who could beat who in a fight and mashups and, you know, all that effing nonsense.
Yeah.
If I never watch a Jason movie again, it'll be
you're
too
not miss,
soon.
You're not missing nothing.
They're poor.
Sorry. Yeah,
and then, you know, you got like the old fogies and sometimes, you know, we all, you know, sometimes I talk to them too. You know, the old fogies, they like the universals and the old 50s horror films and, you know, that yeah, you would hang out with those guys.
Although, I'm that and yeah. 80s cheese.
Yeah. So you might co-mingle
so
in the halls of horror.
Those are, you know.
And then over on this other side over here, you got those millennials who think, like, you know, Paranormal Activity and Conjuring and Annabelle and all that PG-13 crap is the really good shit. And, you know, we just... ignore them, they're over there and they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the perverts way down over there that like, you know,
oh,
Hostel and Saw and
Saw
Serbian
and
Film
Slasher
and Human and Centipede
yeah.
and
those
and
really deep disgusting
Martyrs and August Underground and they think all that's really good stuff over there and mm-hmm. and they're like the, you know, the child molesters they're over there. And then
oh my God, you went deep there.
I
that's,
did.
I don't know
but,
about that.
But wait, and then there's...
I get you, though. I mean,
then
I know
there's
what
the
you're
people
saying.
On the periphery. I'm comparing to people like Human 17 and Child Molesters. Oh, we're going to get some comments.
Oh.
And then there's the people on the periphery. We just kind of walk in twos or threes, yeah. and you just hear us whisper once in a while,
Hammer.
And no one knows what the hell we're talking about. At least that's how I feel it is here in the States, because none of my friends like any of these movies. None of my friends ever watch it. It took me 25 years to get you to watch these damn movies. And I think you're struggling. And
I am a little bit, but yeah, let's go.
They play their own way. But, you know, yeah. if this was the UK, man, I think I would fit in more. Like, if, you know, give me
oh,
the
you know what,
give me like the Hallowed Halls of Horror, like, UK version.
That's
and I think I'd be much better.
That's the funny thing about it. I love most of the UK stuff better than the US. Like, mm-hmm. so when it comes to sitcoms and all this kind of stuff, their lifestyle... you know, I really dig it, love it. But Hammer horror encompasses an era of horror during that late 60s, early 70s.
Late 50s just, to the mid-70s.
And give it their own style.
But they were single-handedly responsible for reinvigorating the horror genre, putting interest back
into the main
characters like Dracula, Frankenstein, whereas the sequels had gotten all tired and stale from Universal.
And there's so many of them, these movies, because they did a lot of movies.
You gotta be picky.
They're not all gonna be good. And most of what Curse of Frankenstein was great.
Yeah, they've all been great that we've done so far.
Right. The last two have been okay. I mean, this was an okay movie for me. It most certainly was different. It wasn't, I'm not going to jump up and down and go, Ted, man, thank you. Thank the Lord you showed me this movie. But I am glad I seen it. I'm glad I seen it. For the history and Christopher Lee. I'm
playing
such a
fan.
Playing
the rare good guy. Though.
Playing the rare good guy. And there are a lot of good elements in this movie.
You got a cross-eyed countess in this movie. I mean, come on.
Let's jump in.
The film starts with a plane landing. This is Rex. He gets out and he meets Christopher Lee at his car. This is Nicholas Duke Richelieu. And what we're going to find is
we'll call him Nicholas.
They have a reunion every year that Christopher Lee's character Nicholas Rex. And we're going to find a young man named Simon, this fella's father, have always been very close friends. I think they were in the war together before. This film takes place in the 1920s.
The plane flies in at the beginning. Look at that!
I know, the cross-eyed countess.
The countess is...
smoking the cigar.
Did they do that on purpose? That looks so
funny. She's got such a... Look, and she looks dead right at the camera.
Yeah! Everybody that was filming that had to have been cracking up laughing. Oh, whatever. That was funny.
An interesting face. And there's just Charles Gray right
there's
there.
Marcado, and Marcado. There's Tanith.
Tanith. Cool name.
Who is very, very beautiful.
She's pretty
Ted
girl.
Said she's okay.
She's all right. Compared to some of the other... I mean, there's a book called Hammer Glamour.
She's
that's got like all the chicks in there.
She's
the actresses.
She looks like your 20s, 1920s. Mm-hmm. He
yeah,
picked her for
the
role.
Hairstyle.
She's
got the,
and she's thin, skinny, dude, that little flapper kind of girl going there.
You like that word flapper, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So anyway, these three guys were very close friends in the war.
Mm-hmm.
The Simon, the young fella, his father dies, and the other two guys have sort of taken Simon under their wing. They meet every year. They never treat him like a child or anything like that, even though he is younger than them. They're all equals, and they have a reunion every year.
Mm-hmm.
But when Rex arrives, Nicholas Duke Richelieu informs him that, no one has seen Simon for the last few months, and all I know is that he's bought this very large house out of ways, and
money.
They're like, let's go check him out. Let's go see what's going
on.
So they go straight over to Simon's house.
Black magic walks. Yeah, and they're having a
soiree in there.
Yeah, a little swingers party.
And all kinds of different nationalities are present.
That's what's
clearly
weird.
African, clearly like, Asian Indian.
It almost made me feel like I was on the set of a Star Trek, one of the original Star Trek.
Or any of today's TV shows.
Series,
We've got to have everyone represented. We'll offend somebody.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Because there was a little bit of everything. And I like how...
Hammer was ahead of its time.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, from the very beginning, Rex, I'm not sure what's going on there. If I'm going to nitpick and say he's the most
he's the weak link. He's
weak
one of the
link,
weak links in the
bad acting.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb as nails. Can we say that?
Well, he's not as
I wouldn't say skeptical. He's dumb as nails.
He is. It seems like the
Even
obvious
when
things
the,
he's not picking up on.
Oh, exactly.
So when they
go watch her, and,
right?
Let's fall asleep in a chair and there's just
I made a little comment when I was watching.
Oh,
you
my
idiot!
God,
but that's
come
how
on.
The story progresses.
But I take Rex as that. Simon is a little bit more. He's already been taken under the control of Mercado.
Right, and he's very uncomfortable when he sees Rex and Nicholas come in the room.
Yes.
It's like, he's having an oh shit day, like, oh God, oh God. So he starts kind of introducing them around. These are my two friends. He introduces them to Mercado. And you could tell Christopher Lee's character right away, he knows something stinks in Denmark right away. So he tells...
Well, Tanith starts talking about Blood the Black... Like,
right.
saying stuff that has to do with...
Oh, and it turns out Rex and Tanith actually have met before.
Yes.
You know, previously, ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
he picks up on it. I mean...
He tells Rex, like, start, you know, just talk to her for a little bit. I'm just going to walk around. And he's just walking around listening to all the conversations. You know, people are talking about stars being aligned and planets being aligned with another one. Yeah, this house has a huge, what do you call it?
Observatory.
And so that's Christopher Lee. When they're getting ready to leave, because he says, Marcato wants to talk to Simon for a moment. He interrupts the conversation. And even Duke Richelieu says, you know, we're going to be asked to leave.
Yeah.
He's like, he waits as sure as anything. You know,
they do, yeah.
I'm sorry, old bean. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Old bean. And as they're out there getting ready to leave, he goes, I want to take a look at the observatory. And
Simon, just take 5 minutes. Let me go take a look.
And Simon's like, no, you know, don't go up there. Don't go up there.
Yeah.
As soon as he goes up there, look at what's on the ground.
Big Baphomet goat's head on the floor. But he's looking at the, you know, they're not astrological charts on the wall. They're, you know, they're the kind of satanic looking things on the wall with goat's heads and symbols and things.
And Simon's calling them art.
He's like, oh, they're just artifacts. Their age is always like, oh, how interesting of you to extend the motif to the floor. And they start hearing a little scratch.
Yes.
Christopher Lee, Nicholas, goes into the closet. And there's a basket. And there's two chickens. Dark mm-hmm. and a white chicken. And he knows. See, he's already, you could tell he's got some information about this.
The almost thought there was a person in there at first.
Oh, no, just the chickens. That's my lunch!
Or Danny Devil, in the basket we did back in Basket Case movie.
Basket Case. Go watch that show. Great show.
Danny the Devil was right here. We open up another casket. Yeah.
He popped up at the end. You gotta watch it till the end. Mm-hmm. So once Duke Richelieu sees the chickens.
Nicholas. You can call him the Duke if you want to. Which one? Duke or Nicholas?
Once the Duke. Whatever you want, man. We'll use them interchangeably.
Oh, man, sorry.
Ooh. Once he sees the chickens, he knows exactly what's going on.
But how did they cross the road? Because I still don't get how that happened.
Oh, it's because they were stapled to the baby that was crawling across. That's why. And, yeah, he's grabbing Simon, like, you know, what are you dabbling in? Do you know what you're doing? You got to just get out of this house.
Yes.
You know.
You're leaving with us right now.
Right. You're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is.
And Rex is going, no, come on.
Let's go to the pub. The Duke's telling him, he's like, I do have some knowledge in this area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, and Christopher Lee in this movie, he plays, mm-hmm. like, the perfect Englishman. Like, if it doesn't have a Union Jack on it, it just sucks. he's a
from that
tea drinking, stiff upper lip,
right?
You know, that, fish that, and chip eating.
That goatee and that little mustache above, just for the era. And
yes.
I mean, he plays it to a T.
He's really good in this
almost
stuff.
To the point that you look at him and you go, that's not the same Christopher Lee I know.
You know,
and
you know what's cool? Another thing that's a little cool about this movie, while he's yelling at Simon here, telling him he's got to get him out of the house.
I wish he would actually slap them there.
Yeah, you know.
Slap them in the face and said, you
bitch.
Well,
he even besieges him. He's like, you know, I've never used my age as a, you know, a leverage against you before, but I'm using it now.
Mm-hmm.
You got to listen to me. And sure as not, you know, there you go. You got your wish. He decked him. Yeah, that was a good hit. Whoa!
I wanted a bitch slap, though. Slap you.
Christopher Lee is not going to bitch slap anyone at any time. The guy did heavy metal records before he died. They're not great heavy metal records.
Right.
But he did heavy metal records, and he had swords and crowns, and he'd chop your head off, but he ain't going to bitch smack you.
That's funny.
Oh, man, look at it. Man, look at that. You know, I like shots like that when they hit somebody and the camera shakes a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was cool.
So they physically get Simon out of his own house and take him away. And we have to know, because this interrupts their plans, because you have to have 13. The coven has to have 13 for the ritual to work.
Which I'll ask and what a was going to happen a little bit later about
what
that.
What was actually going to be happening is that Tanith and Simon were going to have their satanic baptism and be born into the coven, take a new name.
And wasn't it supposed to be the 29th?
I don't know if that's necessarily today. Yeah, you know, I think it is
because
today.
I think this took place over 3 days.
Yeah, April 29th, which if you know anything... That's...
So if you messed up April 29th, can you still do the baptism... The first or the second?
Well, it's the 29th, because this is like May Day Eve.
He's gonna hit.
Has more power. Somewhere. There's more power.
Yeah.
You know, from the earth. You know, so that's why it's so important to do that ritual on that day. So they get back to.
I'm the so Dukes. Powerful. I really don't need to do it on.
No, I mean, yeah, you do
it's
yours.
It's a weekly.
You did yours on Arbor Day the one time. I couldn't believe the power you were conjuring.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It does not really
didn't matter, man. You know, Martin Luther King Day, you brought the black magic,
if you associate yourself with the right,
did I do wrong?
Spiritual, no,
okay,
that's perfect.
My old man's taking a leak. Sorry, can you hear that?
But what happens is, he puts Simon on the couch, brings him in. He goes, "Put him on the old there, Chuppy."
Yeah, and
well, he doesn't.
He knocked him out,
that.
And he even goes, says, "I'm going to wake him up just to put him under again."
Yeah, yeah. Because he's a hypnotist too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's. Christopher Lee's a student of the black arts, and
right, not
hypnotism
not a,
is part of
not
that,
a practitioner, but he knows things.
Yeah,
you know, he's studied it.
Yeah,
and even Dennis Wheatley said, you know, there's a whole group in London, you know, that you know this is going on. You know, he would say back then, you know, that this stuff is actually going on after the war.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of that kind of stuff mm-hmm. going down. So
this stuff goes on even now. I mean, it's not like it disappears. Right. I mean,
so what he's doing is he's hypnotizing him to basically. He's going to go upstairs, he's going to go to sleep, he's not going to wake up, he's not going to get up, he's not going to leave the house. He puts a silver cross around his neck as a talisman of protection, and we'll see, that's not going to help much.
No, it's he's not a, they're not vampires. It's
well,
I know, spiritual aid, but I mean, you know, come on.
You know, you know what else is cool about this flick? This came
necklace.
Out, when this came out in 68, this same year that Rosemary's Baby came out.
Oh, I was going
Two
to mention
movies
that.
That dealt with Satanism.
Yeah, I think one of the
two
first,
of the first.
Well, two of the first.
I think this came out first, and then Rosemary's Baby came out after.
Well, yeah, they technically started this in 1964 production, but
that's when they wanted to, going on it. But
it didn't actually get made and put out there until 1968.
But those two movies alone kind of broke the floodgates for. You know, any movies Rosemary's dealing with
Baby.
that subject matter.
Still
there really weren't many movies that dealt with that issue. I mean,
we
you had like that silent movie back in the 20s, Hexen or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But you didn't have a lot of movies dealing with, you know, Satanism.
For some reason, and maybe it's because of the culture and everything, like you said, the Wheatley book and,
mm-hmm.
and just mainstream society, how it started to, you know, roll into that, you know, across the whole country and... Mm-hmm. So it started to evolve into the movies. So, you know, that's just how it goes, you know.
Then you get, you know, a band like Black Sabbath coming out of Birmingham, England.
Mm-hmm.
Very influenced by a lot of this stuff. The imagery, especially.
Yes.
You know, it's not that their songs were about devil worshipping and satanic cults and things.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried, you know, the imagery, they certainly like to incorporate, you know, the crosses and things like
that. It was
the
image and the style that we're used to.
You know, but imagine, you know, that type of music. Let's just talk about that band for a second. You know... You're in Birmingham.
Well, this is a very important
part.
Oh,
yeah, let's talk about this.
We'll get to Iron Maiden in a second.
We're not talking about Iron Maiden, but...
See, oh, music. No, you said music.
I said Black Sabbath.
Black Sabbath. Oh, okay.
We ain't talking about Iron Maiden.
Okay, whatever.
So, yeah, Makata is using his power from afar.
Yeah, his mind can reach out to the victims that he's got control of, whether through himself or through the spirits of the Black Arts. But
so, is he like... Would he rather just kill Simon than to let... The Duke take him away?
It seems like that because
he's taking the talisman, the cross
the necklace that,
and twisting, around his neck.
That the Duke put him around his neck, the necklace, for protection, and he starts choking himself
to
death.
But he has the sense of mind to reach over and ring the buzzer for the butler.
So
I forgot his name.
Physically, he's making him, but not mentally, he's still able to say, hey. And I do like that little buzzer that's on there, that probably electrical line that goes all the way down. So, bzzz,
I need one of those.
Let them all know. And,
Smedley. He keeps it under his seat so it gets a little buzz down there.
Smedley.
Smedley.
what's
his name? Frank? Yeah, Frankie!
call him the butler.
Smedley sounds better.
Smedley.
If I had a butler, I'd call him Mr. French. Like on Family Affair, remember that show, Buffy and Jody and Mr. French.
But they all the butler runs down with the necklace and goes, what did he say?
He says, you know, I thought I should give this to you right away. And he's like, why did you take it off of him? What are you doing?
Right.
And when he
basically
explains what happens,
choking himself
he's like,
and
okay, you did right. But unfortunately, Simon has escaped the house.
Yeah, but all the necklace wouldn't have helped anyways. I mean, you know, what, you know, he's
well, at
himself.
The time, that's all he could do. Yeah. You know, it's not like Christopher Lee's a big practitioner here. I mean, he does what he knows how to do.
He should have
later
taken
on. He's going to have to go to like libraries and look shit up.
Imagine if he gave him a gun. Here, use this for protection. And Mark Hatto went,
right.
So he, bam. So luckily, he did give him the necklace.
Now, what I was talking about before with the music. It's just
they're just breaking back into Simon's house, and they're going to look around a little bit. So we got
it's just
time.
How you
go.
Got that dark sound that came out of England for that. You know, all influenced by this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funny how a whole genre of music.
The era of late 60s, early 70s.
But kind of like how a whole genre of music got created from, you know, reading Dennis Wheatley books and watching, you know, Hammer movies and Vincent Price movies and, you know, like anthology movies like from Amicus and AIP and stuff like that. So.
And Sanford and Son had a lot to do
with this. Yeah, they got a lot to do with that black magic. Like that episode where Bubba was doing tricks. Black magic.
And Grady, man, he just was pissed off. Woodrow. And I remember he brought out the goat's head and he
was that fish-eyed fool.
And Lamont said,
hey, Pop! You know this is going to give you the big one.
You fish out,
you
fool.
Big dummy!
Oh my god! Anyways,
they're back in Simon's house looking around. Well, they're looking for Simon,
right?
But Duke's also looking around because all the coven is left now.
Yes, and everything's the lights are off, right. And I love the. This house looks good.
Isn't it cool?
I give Hammer, man. They
sets
they
were
know
always good.
The sets were always good.
Very authentic. It must have been really cool to act in these things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you
imagine
really
taking a break and sitting there, and I'd go, you guys can leave for tonight, and I'm staying here.
I'm staying in this house,
you
man.
You know?
It's cool.
Just going to chill out a little bit, read
always,
a book.
Yeah, I always give it, a lot of details. Whenever there's a house, there's always lots of crap hanging up on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like someone lives there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't... Set design was really cool in Hammer.
And Rex is still walking around going...
because see, he
goes, I got somewhere to go at 7. You think we'll
Duke
be done?
Right. He and the Duke were talking after Simon had gone to bed. And he's like completely oblivious. Like, what the deuce is all this about the chickens and everything? And here's where he's like, you know, you haven't figured it out yet? You don't know?
Yeah.
Okay, what... Hammer.
Oh, we are talking Hammer Horror.
Yeah, Hammer don't hurt.
What the heck did that come from? What the
Hammer.
Hammer Horror.
Right. Mm. That's what I should carry around in my hallowed halls. Throw them at the people in the middle there. Throw them at the chomos down at the far end.
The chomos. What the
heck? The chomos that like to watch people sewed ass to mouth and eating shit. Okay.
Ted has got a very descriptive vocabulary tonight for this episode, man. I like it.
I could kill my sister for having me even watch that movie.
Oh my god! I've still never seen it,
dude. You ain't missing it.
That's why I haven't watched it yet.
See, if I had been in that movie, it'd have been about 7 minutes long. All right, when these pretty girls break down the middle of the woods, go knock on some German guy's house, and when that dude opened the door, as soon as he said hello, goodbye, I'll go walk.
I think I remember seeing a glimpse of that.
So, but Simon is nowhere in the house. No one is in the house.
No one.
The chickens are still alive up
Ted
in the observatory.
Says no one. Yeah, they didn't take the chickens.
He even says, well, at least we've saved your lives.
The Duke said that. Christopher Lee.
So, where's he at? Where's Simon at? They got to figure this out.
I don't know. Rex is gone. He could have gone to the grocery store.
Do you think he went to the shops? Do you think he popped out?
And this is where... Nicholas says, the Duke says, I think we're at a loss now. I don't think we're going to find out. We need to find out who these people are. And that's when Rex comes up and says, you know what?
I know. I knew that girl, Tanith. Knew her from where?
He said, from a brothel.
A brothel? I can't even remember where he said he knew her from. He met her in London or something before something like that.
A pub.
So that at least gives them something to go on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're rooting through the drawers. I think he even finds an old text.
I think the drawers are the old, what are those for the library? What's that?
The card catalog?
Yeah, what was it called? The CCD? Card catalog?
I thought it was just like the card catalog.
But they had a weird, system. What was the system
called? The Dewey Decimal System?
Was that it?
That's what it's called.
Okay, well, maybe that's
why you have to have a college degree to be a librarian.
So
you know that?
So vintage, really.
Like, to be a librarian, you have to have a college degree for that. Oh, come on. You gotta know. You gotta have a 4-year degree about the Dewey Decimal System.
Not nowadays. It has to change.
I'm telling you. That's how it is. Because even though it's all computerized, it's still the Dewey Decimal System. It's still the same numbers.
Okay.
It's all in there.
Okay.
So what's going down here? They're going rooting through the drawers. Librarian. Yeah. They find an old textbook.
Ted is like Christopher Lee in this film. He Ted is a student of the art of librarians.
I'm the student of Hammer films, man.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, what happens then? Oh, this
they
is
find
very cool.
an old book. They're looking at it, and then all of a sudden the room starts getting cold and dark. And then
Jethro comes up and he goes.
I know the goat. Remember the goat that's on the floor. Yeah. Smoke starts coming out of the nostrils.
Yeah.
And here we see some really twisted looking African magician.
Yeah.
He looks like a genie from a lamp.
He does.
What's your wish, master?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now look at those eyes, man. Wait.
And he's smiling. The smile. It is very sinister. The smile that this guy. And he's like.
The Duke's like, don't look him in the eyes. Don't look him in the eyes.
Yes.
What's Rex do?
Looks him in the eyes.
And he's starting to get pulled.
Dumb as nails.
Towards him. I know.
Dumb as nails.
But you know, there's always
and
one
he starts
of these movies
smile.
That doesn't believe. Well, he's going to believe now.
And you wonder what demon. I mean, I know they can take the shape of different things and different beings, but the later one we see is like, you know, kind of a goat's head kind of guy.
It's Baphomet.
Yeah, Baphomet. But
that would be symbolic of, like, you know. Even though it's not really like the devil, but it would be like the devil.
And I like how, you know, how he gets rid of the spirit. He throws
the cross necklace at it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jesus will always, you know, repel the black man. The demon, you know, magician.
And Rex finally goes here. I think he's finally starting to understand. And
well, he knows something. There's a whole lot of shaking going on that he doesn't know about.
He goes, that guy could have come through the door and we just didn't see it when the smoke came up.
You're right. That's what it was. It was the butler. He was kind of floating in midair.
But as soon as he went, you know, Rex is all good again. And
he snaps out of it.
They hop in a car.
Because it's like he's under a spell, you know. And then when he's gone, bam, you know, they wake up.
But and the one thing with this movie, too, is... And I know it's to make the film flow.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly doing the wrong things. I think you know that.
Who's doing the wrong things?
Everything. Like, letting Rex go off by himself. He's got to... Okay, let's keep you guys all prepared. And, like, especially when he gets to the house. His niece and... he's the uncle to...
Yeah.
He says, stay put. I have to leave. But I will be back.
Well,
knowing Mercata is coming, you know, he leaves.
Well, later on, I'm sure
but stuff
it was
like
kind
this
of like
keeps
a little bit of a
off.
Race against time. Like, he was hoping that, you know, maybe he wouldn't know where they are yet.
I got a nitpick.
You got a nitpick on something.
These are
I guess.
Ted's, you know, trophy shelves movies.
Yeah,
but
this is my comfort food.
Yeah. But,
I hate
you
the phrase comfort food. I hate the phrase comfort anything.
Really?
What's comfort food?
Comfort movie.
What's a comfort? Any like movie. Texas Chainsaw Massacre could be a comfort movie.
Well, right.
So it's completely subjective.
Well, exactly.
Well, whatever I don't like it.
Whatever makes you comfortable in...
Then don't call it a comfort.
A sad situation.
I mean...
What the hell are you going to call it?
Well, it's almost like you're trying to... Like it's a specific type of movie. If it could be every movie that was ever made, then...
Well, no. I mean, it's...
It could be every movie ever made. No, it could be any movie ever made. A comfort
movie could be
any movie ever made. Because every movie out there is somebody's favorite.
Well, no. That's true.
So that's their comfort
that's why,
movie. Whether it's Debbie
you
Does
just,
Dallas.
Ted, you just answered your own question.
So there's no point calling it comfort anything. It's just
no, like, no. Your comfort movie is your comfort movie.
I don't have any comfort movies.
My comfort...
I like uncomfortable
You
movies.
Said these are your comfort films.
I was being facetious. So
when you're
getting this whole debate
when you're
with
sick,
you.
When you're sick in bed...
I don't watch movies when I'm sick in bed.
You know?
Asleep.
Okay.
Asleep. I'd be miserable. I make my kids go get me
you're
juice.
You're just down and out, and you need to just pop in a movie. What's your go-to movie?
I don't got a go-to movie, man. I just watch I watch what I'm in the mood for, man. I don't like, you know.
Ted's throwing a bunch of BS out there. I ain't even believing. I ain't going for it.
Oh,
he's sticking to his guns. He knows damn well what I mean. But he don't want to go there.
Being a dick.
But I get it. Oh, I love
what did we miss, man? So Christopher Lee, Duke, he he's called up like 28 hotels in London trying to find out where this Tanith is that they're trying to find. Because she's touring around with that cross-eyed countess. They're kind of together.
I still... That's the funniest thing.
Show her picture on there again.
I will have to get a close-up on there.
Leave it on there the whole time. Show no other clip of the movie except that.
They're going like this. Her commentary will be over that picture the whole time. People will be cracking up.
Hurts my eyes just to do it. But yeah, they do find her. Simon's still passed out on the couch. They got him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Simon's gone. It was Rex that was on the couch.
Right.
And so they find where she is. He's going to go pick her up.
Yeah.
Almost under the pretense like we're going to go out to lunch and go out on a date. Almost.
Yeah. Because
they sort of kind of know each other.
I mean, she's seen him at the party when they came and got Simon.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what's going on. And we also find out that she's kind of a medium for Mercado.
Well, like you said, he can communicate with the people that are under his spell.
Right. So I do wonder why she actually didn't go with it, Rex.
You know,
and pretty much at this point, it's a kidnapping now.
They don't. I don't think that, you know, I don't.
And the funny thing is, he's taking him out to his.
Look how fast this car is going.
To the Duke, I know.
These cars cooked back in the 1920s.
Oh, that's green screen in the back, and I like how.
No, he's really driving because their hair's blowing.
And it isn't funny how. Isn't it funny how.
Those are real pastures.
When they hold the wheel of the car, you can't just keep it straight. You got to move it like
you're
this.
Constantly back doing and forth, this
back
when
and forth,
drive.
Back and forth. I'm not doing that.
Oh, I like to go from lane, like one edge of the lane to the like luxury lane. You know?
Who drives like this? I'm moving my hands back and forth, up and down, up and down.
Because you hit little bumps. Ooh, then, look at his eyes in the mirror.
Yes, all of a sudden, Tanith hears Mercado calling to her.
Yeah, and sees his eyes.
In the rearview mirror, which and is look, actually oh, very man. Low.
Remember the part kinda, before that? She even tries to, you know, he's talking to her. She's realizing she shouldn't be with him. Yeah. Knows what's going down. She tries to jump out of the damn car.
Oh, yeah.
He even grabs her. Don't do that again. Yes. I'll knock the hell out of you if you
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, he's, you know, already getting, you know... Mm-hmm. In love with her a little bit, wanting to smack her around.
Yeah, and that's the thing in this movie. Like he's really almost trying to be seductive and.
But he's a bad
actor. They're totally two different worlds. Like these two worlds are not going to meet at any point.
No, he's white, she's black, and
he's A, she's Z. There's not enough letters in between.
You know, yeah.
You know, put it that way. And they're going to—is it his brother's house? I think his brother Richard or a friend Richard. I think it's a friend because they have a different last name, Eaton.
They said uncle.
Well, so, my kids call you Uncle Dino when they're at home.
So. Yeah, I don't know who they are, to tell you the truth.
But let's just say
friends. All I know is the younger girl is dressed like an equestrian, and she's getting ready to...
But there's no horse.
There's no horse, yeah. So, and it doesn't... Nobody cares about their cars in this film, either.
I guess not.
They switch him all over the place.
Yeah. Let me take your car, take your car.
We'll talk about that when it comes up. But
yeah, so Mercado, he's got his eyes in the rearview mirror, but nobody else can see except
Sounds like
Tanith.
A type of cheese.
Yeah, Mercado cheese. I like to put that on my spaghetti.
Mercado cheese.
Mercado.
Can you give him a mio Mercado?
Mercado.
Oh, man.
Based on Aleister Crowley, remember?
Yes. But I do like how they eventually do pull up to the house, and it's Marie and Richard's house, and the girl's name, the younger girl's Peggy.
Peggy!
Who's a very... She's like... Looks like she's probably 9 years old.
Let's say
I don't
9
know.
Years old.
Sounds a good...
Uncle Rex. And here's a stupid thing he
Oh,
does.
Yeah. Dumb Rex. I mean, he's just
jumps
got,
out of the car to say hi to his friends and the little... You know, his little niece, whatever. Because actually, the wife here is Christopher Lee's niece in the movie.
Yes.
So that's his family.
Right.
So he's just friends.
That's right.
But Tanith takes... Rex's car and just totally speeds off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she just... Rex. Like, that would never
Richard,
happen.
I need to borrow your car. And there's the girl. He didn't stay very long, did
Yeah,
he?
Peggy says that to the little girl. And then a chase ensues.
This is kind of a neat little red car that he's...
Well, for this part almost got him the role of James Bond.
Oh, yeah?
Right after Sean Connery, yeah.
Even though the James Bond movie started in 62.
Right.
After Sean Connery,
yeah.
After Sean, huh?
But they went with Roger Moore. You know, they said...
you had George Lazenby there for one movie.
All right.
Let's give George some goddamn credit.
Well, I can't give him no credit.
I like George Lazenby.
I watched it.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service is actually one of the best James Bond movies in the whole franchise. Just that guy only got one chance.
Sorry, it was all right.
No, it's one of the best. Top five James Bond.
Just like anything, it's hard to pick.
Top five.
Very first Sean Connery films were just the best. And I think it was because of the era, too.
From Russia with Love,
yes.
Goldfinger. Then I'd say Under Majesty's Secret Service. Then the next best one would probably be...
I could tell Ted's got a cold. He's,
For Your Eyes Only.
Just take some Tylenol or
and
something.
And then maybe GoldenEye. Those are like the top five Bond
movies. Oh, I like the newer ones. I mean...
Well, everybody likes the newer ones, but I'm talking top five.
Well, Roger Moore towards the end there.
Those newer ones aren't...
Started getting bad.
They haven't stood the test. Well, that's why I picked for Your Eyes
Only. And Sean Connery...
you know what?
Really started hating the role.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take GoldenEye out of the picture... And I'm going to say License to Kill with Timothy Dalton because that guy gets no love for the two films he did. And I think, and my buddy Chris would agree with me, he's probably, according to the books, the closest as far as how he acts. That's really what Bond is like in the books.
You know, I got to watch Timothy Dalton's Bond movie
again. They're fantastic. License to Kill is a great
movie. Going to have to watch that one again.
But let's get back to the movie we're talking about. We don't do a James Bond podcast. We do a horror movie podcast.
Yeah, they're still chasing each other, but what
Okada's
happens
getting
is,
involved.
Yes,
he's putting some spells.
Yes, she's seeing him through the rearview mirror still.
I like what he does with the windshield. He
makes
it like
frosts
it. Yeah, completely frosts it. And he has to take it and punch a hole.
Yeah.
And then you see how he's driving, looking through the little hole that he made.
Like, and they get some fog.
The fog. Magical
fog comes
in. And then bam, right into a ditch.
And crashes.
And how lucky is he that he doesn't dash his head into where he hit?
Gash his head?
And totally,
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't gash his head in the dashboard.
I'd have been... Did a tree go through the other side?
Yeah! Oh, my God.
Man, I didn't notice that when I watched it before.
He was lucky.
Limb went right through the windshield.
Yeah, his underwear's even sticking out
on his
scene.
He didn't even soil himself.
No, but it's sticking out.
He's
ripped it.
He's rubbing his ass, though. God, that's going to hurt him.
Well, he had a... In the casting... They said pretty much that he had some hemorrhoid problems during the filming of this.
And give him some preparation H?
I think that's why he acted so bad.
Did you ever wonder... Oh, look who almost ran him off the road.
The cross-eyed
guys. He's waving a car down coming. And she almost runs him over.
What gets me, too, is that now how close he is to this place.
Yeah.
Just by chance.
It's just by chance.
I mean, I guess is this...
We're talking about hemorrhoids, though.
And there's the golden dragon...
That's going to come up later.
...heads that's at the front gate.
Prep H. Preparation H. Does it ever make you wonder who had to try preparation A through G before they got it right?
No.
Those poor people.
I know. Can you imagine? Ooh, that burns. Oh, move on to B.
Don't you love those commercials? It's like the guy walking across the street and just looks right at you. When my hemorrhoids flare up, I reach for preparation H.
But yeah, you're right. I mean,
Or how come all the Viagra commercials have hot chicks in them and no guys?
Do I need to tell you why?
Well, I mean, because
they want the
why don't
guys
you put
that
some
are
sad-looking guys, and they're going, "Do you have a problem getting it up too?"
Because a guy would be more sympathetic and not want to get the pill, then you're seeing a bunch of hot chicks on there, and you're going, "Oh my god, I am getting
that
pill to get that erection."
Yeah, but see, when you're that age and you need Viagra, you ain't going to get chicks that look like that. You're going to get your wife. You know, they're not going to look like them chicks on the show on the commercials.
Wow. Ted is in rare form today, man. I'm liking this. He's pulling a me.
So what happens here?
Yeah, oh, man.
He gets to the...
Sorry, I'm itching my ass.
Oh, that's all right, man. Man who go to bed with itchy butt, wake up with smelly finger.
Ooh.
That was in my fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah, that smells fine. I didn't go in. It was,
so what,
it was on the outside of the clothes.
Yeah, so just like this house here. It looks like that scene in Eyes Wide Shut when Tom Cruise goes up to the house there, except it's daylight.
Exactly.
Because Stanley Kubrick's the greatest filmmaker that ever
lived. And they all got rolled.
Someone's listening.
Yes.
And and that's almost what this scene kind of reminds me
it
of.
It does,
He's hiding out in the car. What does he do, hiding somebody's trunk?
Imagine Tom Cruise standing out at the front of the gates and that music.
Yeah, but he'd be talking about Scientology. He'd be handing out pamphlets and shit.
I know, we're not talking about him,
I know.
Talking about Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick.
That's right. I love the music,
and the music
in that scene.
Yeah, that was awesome.
If any of you metalheads out there like the band Ghost,
yes.
When I went to go see them in concert, that's the music they played before they came out. And the backdrop of the stage looked like a church. And they had the incense burners, and man, it smelled like church. But they were playing that, you know,
that is backwards really, kind of really music. Cool.
That was a great show.
That's awesome.
Saw them before they got a little bit bigger and play bigger places now.
So they must have all pulled in there and it got nighttime very quickly.
Right.
Because Rex followed them in there and sees all the cars and everything
sees
else.
And sees Simon and Tanith.
Yes, and goes and looks and sees that there's a whole group of people coming out of tents.
Yeah.
And there's an altar, candles like I said, on man, the outside
a lot of
and stuff.
People are doing this stuff.
But Ted, this is the part that I was going to ask you a question, see if you know about. I don't understand. They needed 13.
At least.
For the coven. But how come there's about 50 people
As long as it is multiples of 13, it could be other covens.
Okay.
As long as it's multiples of 13.
Okay.
I think even Christopher Lee makes a mention of that somewhere. Like, you know, you need at least, you know, one coven of 13. So that implies that you could have more covens of 13.
Okay. That makes sense.
So there could be like 3 covens there.
Yeah.
You know, because again, this is, you know, this is May Day Eve, a very powerful night. They're on Salisbury Plain here.
And Salisbury Hills forever.
That's Salisbury Hill, man. That's Peter Gabriel. Standing up on Salisbury Hill.
Yeah, there you go.
I can see the city lights.
Salisbury Hills forever.
There's that
forever.
Indian chick, man. She's pretty hot.
Where?
She'll be doing some cool dancing. You know, she's got the little ding, 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 ding.
And this is, oh my God, wait till that happens. When they break out.
The blood orgy.
Again, if you guys are listening on iTunes, jump over to YouTube to see what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because we put the video periodically up there. And
most of the movie we end up getting up there.
Yeah, Markata slices the throat of the goat.
Yeah, that Indian chick right there, man.
And all these ladies, as soon as he slices it, they're like, oh, my God.
Like it's an orgiastic release.
Yes,
man.
An ecstasy. And, you know, for these people, it would be.
Time to drink the blood.
And Markata raises it. But when they do
slice it. Let's get drunk!
When they slice the goat's neck, I mean, it shoots out like pouring.
Yeah, because it was
kinda
alive.
Kind of like the Dracula that we did.
Mm-hmm.
He was hanging the body over Dracula's casket. And
what was that? What was that?
It was just a line.
Clove.
Clove, the butler.
So what, Rex, he gets to a phone, calls... Christopher Lee's character had told him, you know, Marcotta's not going to let this night go by without doing something. Whether he finds Simon or not, it's too powerful of a night.
Right.
So,
from this point forward, all commentary has been lost, never to be found again. Due to the subject matter, satanic rituals, Aleister Crowley, things got very strange from this point on. And even though it showed that all of our video had been recorded, only half of it remained. So, if you want to see the rest and see all of the stuff you should have seen with us, go back and watch the movie. For the end is very twisting, very strange, and something intervened. Things started to happen while we started talking towards the end of this commentary. So, with that said, I am very sorry half this commentary has been lost, but watch the film, The Devil Rides Out, Hammer Horror, and check it for yourself. The end.